Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We probably know St. Mary Magdalene best from her Easter Sunday appearance in the Gospels. Remember that she was one of those faithful women who had followed Jesus down from Galilee to Judea and Jerusalem, who had provided for his earthly needs from their own funds and from their money. She was one of those women who was there watching as Jesus was crucified, who was there when Jesus was buried in the tomb. And she was one of those faithful women who went to the tomb early on Sunday morning to tend to his supposedly dead body. It was Mary who ran sprinting back to the apostles to tell them about the empty tomb. And when she went back with Peter and John, after they saw that the tomb was empty and left, she remained by herself there weeping until she saw that gardener who finally revealed himself to her as the risen Lord Jesus by saying her name, Mary. Now that Mary may or may not have been the penitent, sinful woman in this evening's gospel from Luke chapter 7. Her name first comes up in Luke's gospel right after this account where we're told that Jesus had driven seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. And being demon-possessed strongly implies that at very least she was previously living a life that was sinfully separated from God. In the end, it doesn't matter if she's the woman of our gospel this evening or not, because the saints' days in the Lutheran liturgical calendar aren't meant to focus so much on the saint, but on the scripture lessons assigned for the saints' day. So let's spend a few moments reviewing that account from Luke chapter 7. The three main characters here are Jesus, the woman, and Simon the Pharisee. As Jesus sits at the table at Simon's dinner, a woman enters and approaches Jesus with great humility. She stands before him crying, and her tears fall on his feet. She wipes them with her hair. She kisses his feet continually and then pours expensive perfume on them. Remember what Isaiah wrote in chapter 52? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That verse is applied to all ministers of the gospel, but only because it was Jesus himself who first proclaimed that good news, that gospel of good things, of the free forgiveness of sins through faith in him who came to make atonement for our sins, even to the sinner who has committed the filthiest sins and lived in open hostility to God his whole life. To a person like that, like the sinful woman in our gospel, whether it's Mary Magdalene or another woman, the feet of Jesus, the one who came from God to atone for her sins and to bring her a promise of free forgiveness, were truly beautiful. And her tears and her peculiar attention to Jesus' feet flowed from a heart that knew just how badly she had offended her God, just how tightly she had formerly embraced the devil himself, just how close she had been to eternal death. But now, just how wonderful her God was, who offered her, even her, forgiveness, life, and salvation through this Son of Man sitting at the table in front of her. But to Simon, as a self-righteous Pharisee who already thought he was better than most people, including Jesus, who needed little, if any, forgiveness for anything, her behavior was disgusting. And so was Jesus' acceptance of it. If this man were a prophet, he thought to himself, He would know what kind of a woman this is, and he would send her away in the disgrace that she deserves. Well, since Jesus was a prophet, he knew what Simon was thinking, even without Simon having to say it, and he demonstrated that in his little parable that he told to Simon. He took pity on Simon, just as he had taken pity on the woman, and told him this very simple, very gentle parable to snap him out of his self-righteous condemnation of that woman who had shown such humility and love toward Jesus. Two men owed money to a lady, one owed 500, the other owed 50, neither could pay, so the lender forgave them both. Which one would be more grateful? Which one would love the lender more? Well, obviously, the one who owed more. Then Jesus goes on to show how that little parable played out in real life right there at Simon's house. The woman who knew how terribly sinful she was, who knew she owed a huge debt to God, was promised the forgiveness of her enormous debt through Jesus. She must have had some contact with him before this to know that promise and that word to go seeking him as she did. So she loved him very much. Like the woman portrayed in this evening's first lesson from the Song of Solomon, which is a picture of Christ and his beloved church, and the love that he has for his church, and the love that his redeemed and forgiven church has for him. That woman who sought out the one whom her soul loved and wouldn't let go of him when she found him, because love is strong as death. She showed that love by her tender, humble acts of kindness toward Jesus, with her tears and her hair and her kisses on Jesus' feet and her pouring out of the perfume that she almost certainly used to use on herself as she prepared herself for the adulteries that she used to commit, but now pours out the perfume on Jesus' feet as one who has abandoned her sinful life and has found forgiveness with Jesus and a new life devoted to him. Well, Simon, on the other hand, didn't even show Jesus the customary courtesies of a dinner host. He offered Jesus no water even to wash his own feet with, no kiss on the cheek of greeting, as was common, no oil to anoint the head. Simon didn't just love Jesus little. He didn't love Jesus at all, because he didn't view Jesus as his Savior from any sins. He didn't look to Jesus for forgiveness for even a little. But the woman's demonstration of love showed everyone there the faith that God had already created in her heart. And so Jesus says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, which came first, the pronouncement of forgiveness, the faith, or the acts of love? Well, clearly the faith came first, which came from the word she had already heard about Jesus, which brought her to the dinner hall, searching him out until she found him, and which had already made her a forgiven daughter of God. Then came the outward acts of love. And then came the pronouncement of forgiveness, affirming the righteousness that was already hers by faith, and also giving her another firm and solid word of God on which to rest her faith and build her faith, so that the next time her conscience troubled her over her past sins, the next time Satan tried to remind her of what a wretch she was and of how no one could possibly love a person like her, especially God, the next time a Pharisee or another religious person should treat her with contempt because of the filthy life she had once lived, she could turn back again and again to those words that she heard Jesus speak to her and be comforted again and again by the word of Christ. And if this was St. Mary Magdalene, She certainly didn't go away from Jesus after that day or go back to her own life. She stayed close to Jesus for the rest of his earthly life and then stayed close to his church for the rest of her earthly life, as we all must do. Today's festival is about the basics of Christianity. First, repentance. Your debt of sin is far greater than you imagine it to be. Not one of us here needs to be forgiven only a little. So come to Jesus daily in repentance, not so that you can keep on living in your sin, but so that you can get rid of it first before God and then in your life going forward. Second, faith. Trust in the faithful Lord Jesus, who is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for your sins, and not only for yours, but for the sins of the whole world. Third, forgiveness. Whether it's the promise of the gospel you've already heard hundreds of times in your life, promising forgiveness through Christ, or whether it's your baptism, or the times you've attended the Lord's Supper, or private absolution from the pastor to you individually. Cling to those words of promise and know that when God pronounces you forgiven, not even hell itself can override it. Finally, love. Let demonstrations of love flow from your faith in Christ so that everything you do is out of love for Jesus, who loved you first and gave himself for you. Let Mary's example spur you on to love Jesus as she did, always remembering the depths from which Jesus pulled you up so that you never despise his forgiveness as Simon did. Repentance, faith, forgiveness, and love. These are the things we learn from the gospel for St. Mary Magdalene's Day. May the Lord make us ever more like her. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.